settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. And this week, we'll be talking about the Now Gateway. And if you'd like to join us with a question to Gregory Hay, who will be speaking through Mick Avery, the phone lines will be open. The number to call and speak to Spirit is in the US, 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-810-8322. And an international caller, I'm afraid this isn't free phone, but it doesn't cost very much, honestly. And it's 001-503-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work, here on the wonderful bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific. We've got another radio show, which is aired once a week, and it's called Spirit Teaching, and it's on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, our CDs, book an Akashic reading, go to any of the other diagnostic services that we have, please go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. So, all this is possible, because I am a full-body deep trance medium. And as usual, live on the show, I'll be bringing through our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay, who will be speaking to you for the entire show. Gregory will be temporarily borrowing my body, and I won't be aware of anything that has happened after the show or during it. Does that sound right?
It does.
Okay, all right. So, anyway, as Sylvie said, if you've got a question relating to our subject of today, please do pick up the phone. We would really love to hear from you, and because that's you taking part, and that's what this is all about. Anyway, I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie now, so have a great show while I go to sleep. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mick.
Goodbye. I'll take a sip of water first.
Yes. Gregory Hay had an Earth life 300 years ago, and he has come back to help us with the benefit of his education and development in the spirit world. Apart from his many other tasks in the spirit world, Gregory is the spokesperson for an educational group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. He was asked to be the representative of the group, who consists of many, many great minds who want to help humanity and save our world. There are scientists, doctors, scholars of all descriptions who are all behind the scenes as we speak at every show and every time that we actually do this. Our aim as the mediums for the group is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit. We hope to enhance people's lives and the lives of others and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet, ultimately. And as we said, if you want to know more about us, our books, our Akashic readings, our other diagnostic services, our website is spirit-teaching.com. And once again, the phone number to call, toll free in the US, 877-876-5227, Canada, 888-810-8322, and international callers, 001-530-876-3222. Okay, so basically, we don't do personal readings on this show, but it's basically just joining in on the conversation. It's an interactive program, and please do join in if you've got anything you'd like to add to our discussion. Oh, I do believe Gregory's here now.
Hello, dear friend, with love and light, as always.
Thank you, Gregory. So tonight, this afternoon, or it might be tonight if you're in England, we're going to be talking about the Now Gateway.
Yes.
What do you exactly mean by that?
The Now Gateway is to program in to allow you to have access to your state of being now. That is, instead of relating eternally to the situations of your past, as many people do in physical life. So the Now Gateway is about you actually being in touch and relating in a presence, a state of presence and awareness, so that you are in contact completely with the divine essence of inner force, which is available to you via your spirit and your spirit contact. Now, your spirit contact may be something which to many people, perhaps if you are not parlay to the word spirit, may actually be something of your inner nature. And that is very well if you want to call it that.
Yes, I mean, you're not talking about a spirit contact as in another being. You're talking about your spirit, the spirit of you.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And how you actually access this is really down to the individual. You may do this in silent prayer of your own or through meditation or something like that. Again, this is not about making contact with dead people on the other side or whatever. I'm saying that this is a very realistic situation, thing that everyone can do in physical life and relates to you, everyone. So perhaps it may be then that you are not, or should I say that you have not up to this point accessed your Now Gateway. What does that mean? How does it make itself manifest in your physical life if you aren't actually creating this situation for yourself, if you're not in touch with it? What it does, in fact, if you are not able to do this, is that you will continue to make mistakes in life. Mistakes happen generally because you are not being a cohesive force or in a state of being in touch with the present now situation of your life. So therefore, perhaps situations in your life, you are not seeing clearly a pathway through them. You are misted. You are seeking a clear way, perhaps, and trying to climb over all of the obstacles life has put in front of you. However, if you are not within the Now Gateway, within this ability to actually access the superior spirit knowledge within you, then how are you possibly going to overcome these hurdles that life poses for you? So the situation then is for many people that perhaps they may even continually reflect upon past issues of their life. This can invariably hold very many people backward in their shape of life and in their situation, the stance of their life, perhaps even presenting the energy of their life as being something of negativity, because particularly if you are constantly thinking of something of the past, relaying it to the presence of now, you are disturbing your Now Gateway and the energy that may actually come to you to be able to accept and acknowledge it and open it. How are you going to open your Now Knowledge Gateway if you do not have the key, if you do not allow your energy, that pragmatic energy of instance and understanding, survival, instinct, all of those other issues which are actually related to your normal fabric of animal self, become sent into oblivion, or perhaps at best become clouded so that you cannot actually gain the access. This is because your vibration accent is lowered through the negativity that you have created for your life by continually thinking of past thoughts, usually ones that are negative. Some people may even think of past thoughts which were positive. How wonderful that is. But even then, disturb the possibility of their now gateway simply by seeing it as a respective thing of, oh, if only I could continue to repeat that path and not the one I'm on. So then that is, in a sense, using a positive energy to a negative effect in your present now.
Well, in other words, you're trying to be positive and think of positive things, but then you remind yourself why you're doing it, and that's a positive thing. That counteracts it, doesn't it?
Yes, it can become a negative thing, because if you look upon your path now and say, oh, well, how can I change it? Oh, I know, I'll think back about how I was in the past, some beautiful vista or whatever it was, relationship perhaps that I was in, and think of the glory of love that was surrounding you at that time and coming from your heart. These situations were perhaps repeating and repeating for you in trying to explore that position and energy and also trying to drag it into the present. It's not the point, not the thing to do. If you really want to succeed in the presence of now, you have to say, I dismiss the negativity I have created. I dismiss the negativity that I create even when I am trying to bring illumination from the past, because that was past and this is now. I have to prepare myself for this experience now and live it and be it.
Okay, and no doubt before the end of the show you're going to give us some tips on how to do that. What about the placebo effect?
Yes.
Because really all the experts don't really know how the mind influences the body, but how that works.
Yes, quite so. And perhaps for many, they actually center perhaps their thoughts and feelings, their descriptions of the mind and the possible effects upon mind over body as being some empty illusion that is actually painted and created by the mind in order to dress something up that isn't actually there. And so perhaps this could be described as a way of overcoming that negative impasse that you may be in. The problem with this situation is that you will then, perhaps further later on along your pathway, discover that perhaps, well, the thoughts and the illuminations that you had, even though it had helped you over the hurdle, actually were empty. And so that may then lead to you being distrusting of further illuminations of your mind-conscious thought and enabling you to overcome other hurdles. Because, my friends, if these illuminations are not correct, if they are bringing insecurity to further stations of your life, how else are you possibly going to think or create around them for something which is of a lesser value, of something which then, shall we say, appears to be baseless, groundless, has no fruit within it, has no constant energy, because it means that in hindsight you reflect upon it and it was hollow. So we are not looking about illusionary instincts of mind. We are not trying to get you as a human being to think of thoughts which are just plucked from the ether, that really have no countenance to your individuality, and that perhaps these thoughts are therefore empty and will leave you feeling as though there is this large empty void space within you. That would never do. So what we need you to do is to realize that there are possible energies within your ultra spirit notion, within a self, that you may actually bring forward into your life. Do not sit and think that you are this being who has lived all of this journey, all of this life, done this, done that, whatever it is, and that what you are looking at, perhaps as you sit back in your taxi of life, that someone else is driving it. So you are just looking out the window, admiring the view, da-da-da, and what you are actually creating is a sort of a limpet view of your life. You're stuck on this rock and you're at the whim of the rock in order to perhaps douse you in the sea every now and then when perhaps the tide comes in, when the luck of your life arrives upon your doormat, rather than actually saying, no, I'm in the driver's seat and driving your vehicle yourself. Not forgetting, of course, that your vehicle is, in fact, your soul. That is, your counterpart of spirit nature, which has all of the conclusion, all of the situations of energy and impact and relationship characteristics which have come about because of your physical relationship with your spirit and your spirit relationship with your spirit, with your physical self. And all of that has become what is your soul. And so that is your taxi. That gives you the actual ride that you have. It gives you the will to survive or not. So what you need to do is to build up the strength, pump up the wheels of the taxi, give it a new engine, give it a coat of paint if you wish, give it whatever service it needs in order for you to be in touch with the Now Gateway now, not tomorrow, not next week, now.
Sort of nourishment.
Yes, you could say that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Where does counselling come in?
It doesn't.
This? It doesn't.
Well,
that's a shame, because that's what most people use for...
Yes, I'm well aware of that, my friend, and really, to be honest, what you are doing is really feeding people money so that they can perhaps bounce back the thoughts and feelings that you have in yourself. That perhaps is using a mirror window of opportunity to look perhaps at certain aspects of your physical life self, perhaps to do with your past deeds. Well, this is all very well to reflect upon attitudes and situations of the past in order for you to have perhaps gain new aspects and avenues to the relationship of yourself with your spirit and physical state. However, I have to say, dear friends, that in this situation, what you really need to do is to understand that you can change. You can change all of that stuff, all of those things and bits and pieces of your life that you would rather set back from your life and forget, except that when you go to a counselor, the chances are it will either be dragged up again in front of you, embarrass you, think, oh, but I have moved on from that. Oh, no, you haven't. You have actually got to face it again and again and again just to keep you back.
Yes, but you can find that every week, you know, regardless of how you're feeling.
You never move on.
You don't, because then you plummet back into this sad person every time.
Yes.
You go and just regurgitate all of the fears and anxieties.
Yes.
That you have forgotten about.
Absolutely.
That.
So you end up in regurgitating tears after tears, sobbing relentlessly for all of this state of confusion and disarray.
I mean, there must be some aspects of counselling in situations where it is good for
yes.
you to be able to move on from then.
Yes, absolutely so. And the aspects of counselling which are good,
mm-hmm.
I have to say, and are necessary, are perhaps in helping you to deal with certain relevant issues which perhaps have become clouded in your vision and perhaps are situations to do with memory, which is to do with your memory recall or lack of it because of violent or abusive behavior, or to do with situations which are of extreme negativity, other forms of extreme negativity to do with your life. So perhaps you were involved in a tragic vehicle accident or some other physical situation which you find difficult to cope with. So it may well be that by revisiting this in certain ways that you are actually able to, yes, illuminate these situations for a time, perhaps, yes, sobbing uncontrollably at certain issues, but that the whole object has to be then not just in trying to investigate all of the ins and outs, all of the necessary situations of that abuse or accident or whatever physical thing it was, but to actually understand that if it was a situation of different parameters involving other beings, then you were not wholly responsible. And what you have to understand through that personal characterization, perhaps, of counseling is that you would actually see that you were not responsible for this situation. This was something that somebody else brought upon you, and therefore you are not guilty. This should bring you relief and release, and in fact, not be something that you merely repeat again and again as a cycle to keep the counsellor employed.
Mm, yes.
So the situation has to be that there is a need, a signaled need from the client, a responsibility of the client to understand, and a responsibility from the counsellor to give the client their own responsibility for the seeing the situations they have been in and giving that clarity, perhaps in a way of feeding back and counterposition of the situation, perhaps voicing, paraphrasing the situation that they have been in so that they can see it more clearly. And in that event, a counsellor is most definitely worth their salt.
And also, with counselling, I mean, it's no point in somebody going for counselling if they don't really want to go, but they're being bludgeoned into it by their peer group or family or friends, people that love them, because they think they need it. And that's pointless, really, isn't it? Because they're not going to be truthful.
Absolutely so. They're always going to hide behind something. So, for example, if you have perhaps a child who was sexually abused, perhaps, this could be a situation which is most definitely very difficult, both for the counsellor, for the child, and for any of the child's continuing living parents or grandparents or whatever other relatives may have an inkling of this situation of contact being exhibited.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is then for the counsellor in trying to work a way round and through this young person's life in order to try to see the eventuality. How can I actually drag this out of this human being who is suffering, obviously, but not giving directly the causes of the suffering? The situation tends to be that people hide away with their thoughts and their inner feelings because of the crisis management through instinct within a self. What you are actually looking at in that case is perhaps a way of overcoming these forms of trauma in such a way as to touch their spirit so that they are able to share it, deliver it, bring it out into the open, and then make it well. The making it well part is, of course, very difficult for many people because you are depending upon that individual's character and their possibility of understanding not just their own responsibility, but other people's responsibility upon them, their duty of care of their activities they created upon whoever the victim may be.
Absolutely.
So we can see, obviously, that in situations like that, there has to be a great deal of care. Now, it may well be, of course, that even through the process moving on and on and on for a year, you may not get to the bottom, the nub of the question of the situation, what really truly happened.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think we are making progress? Well, all you may be doing is just regurgitating the same sentences and the same senses and feelings of the child. So what you really need to do is to show the child that there are ways in how they can view forward thinking and understand that the situation of attention was then. You do not need to constantly visit that energy. Perhaps you may do foremost in order to expel the energy to actually give information about the event. But after that situation, in order to deal with it, you need to move on from it. And that it does not mean to say to keep on responding and recapturing that memory, but actually being able to say, well, here is my line in the sand. This is the line of my life. From this moment on, I am to walk with my head held in a different way. From this moment on, I am going to understand that with contact of my innate spirit quality, I am going to actually be able to move beyond the feeling that I had of low esteem or of annihilation. From this moment on, I can be who I want to be, not who someone has tried to make me into being. And I feel, really, that in essence is a form of key to unlocking this new twinning, if you like, this new concept of latching onto the energy from the now gateway, because you are saying to yourself, I am closing the door upon that which I was because I wish to be that which I am, and respond to that feeling.
Absolutely. And if anybody's got anything that they would like to share with us, maybe they've been through a position where they found strength in some method or other, whatever it is, you can share with us. That would be interesting to everybody else. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-810-8322. And international callers, 001-530-876-3222. Okay, well, that's... what do you think about antidepressants to help people over certain hurdles? Where do you stand on that?
Well, the situation, my friend, varies. It depends upon what antidepressant it is, what effect it has, and why it is used. So, to begin with, you may have, perhaps, the situation of using antidepressants upon children. Many schools, I understand, use this as a first element of the system of control, perhaps to do with someone who is bringing disturbances to a classroom or something like that. So you may have a great difficulty there in actually seeing a way through, perhaps because you may be a teacher who is invariably in control of a class of 30, or nearly 30, and in which case, having one or two people who are in an extreme depressive state, or perhaps are in states of awareness which are contrary to the control the teacher needs to exert upon the classroom in order for people to learn,
hyperactivity
and that kind of thing, you are then wanting to perhaps subdue some children and enhance the lives of others. I can understand its use for some children who are perhaps manically depressed because of home life situations or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is still, however, I have to say, the sticking plaster over a much larger problem, and really needs a situation of duty of care development of that little person's life, or whoever the person is, in order to help them to overcome the distressing circumstances of that physical life that they have. So that is really what they need to do in order to change this situation, is perhaps they need to have a help with a form of antidepressant, temporarily stabilizing their nature in some way. And then otherwise, it may well be that perhaps to do with some other form of the situation, that once the energy has been stabilized, then perhaps the dose then can be restricted or lessened a great deal, because after all, you do not want a child having to take pills for all of their adolescent life in order to control their energies. Controlling energy is far better used in a positive way by directing that energy into something positive. Not all energy, just because it is through a child, needs to be viewed in a negative way. You have to understand that perhaps for the dexterity of the situation, that a child is actually shown how to focus that energy they have in a positive way, not allowing it, perhaps, or moving it away from something which is negative.
And possibly looking at the food that they eat.
Oh, absolutely,
as well.
So, friend. Yes, food intake has a great deal to do with children's behavior and the way in which they interact with physical life. They are physical beings. Their spirit may not actually be completely connected. And so perhaps the situation is that they are, as it were,
up a height, perhaps bounding off the walls mm-hmm. with their lack of sense of direction. That is quite normal for a child. And really, that is, I suppose you could say, why different forms of presentation of encouragement of how to actually control a mind for an individual is something which perhaps should be taught in schools, as important as it is to earn whatever the first, to learn whatever the first language is of that child, is to have an ability to have control of mind, temperament, and of relaxation, of the ability for the consciousness to connect mm-hmm. into the now present.
What do the, in the spirit world, you know, all the famous people, the psychologists and that sort of thing, psychiatrists that have been, what do they think now of the work that they did then about all of this, the sort of things that we're talking about now?
Yes. Well, of course, for some, I understand, they are quite riveted to the physical side of life and the leaps of experience that have become commonplace, particularly, I would have to say, with situations of the last century where there were adaptations of certain forms of psychiatric care and that kind of thing, which was actually to do with perhaps trying to help people who were suffering from some form of shell shock or disease from military service and that kind of thing, and how to actually alter that situation of remembrance. And perhaps in their day they had just tried to help someone to just live with their experience rather than actually showing them a way forward from that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to say, within answer to your question, friend, that we have to take a very general approach to it, because in all different areas of psychiatric care and advancement, we can see there are pluses and there are also minuses, in that the vagaries of psychiatric science continue to bloom in the garden of that form of understanding. This is purely because there is still a misquotient of the situation between the physical voyage and the spirit, and the reluctance of science to admit there to be any exchange of mind, or the illumination of mind could actually be something enhanced by the spirit, even if they would admit that spirit was present.
I was going to say, yes, you have to admit that then you have a spirit.
Yes, quite so.
First
and unfortunately, as we have said before, in past situations, scientific memories of people will always freely wheel out that the situations of science dictate there has been no evidence of spirit manifestation, which of course is absolute rubbish, and just shows the blinkered, blackened view of individuals in their narrow-minded escape of that form of understanding.
Well, I think most people who don't really delve into this too much, these subjects of the spirit world, tend to call the soul the aspect of the body that is etheric.
Yes.
If anything.
Yes, which of course it isn't, because it's actually the sum total of all of your mind situations, the emotion, the emotional package of your life, if you like. So does that mean then, if I'm saying that the soul of a small child, perhaps, who has lived but 3 days, will be almost weightless because it has had no life, no emotion, if it passes at 3 days? Well, absolutely. And also, consequently, it's had nothing to slow it down. So the vibration is just as quick as the inherent spirit quality of the original nature of that spirit in purity from the spirit world, a divine aspect, I might add, of the creative force of all life, that is.
Mm-hmm. What about, how well can we use our mind for things like physical addictions. And I don't just mean drugs and alcohol and that sort of thing. I mean, you know, food, people that use food.
Yes, quite so, because food, of course, can be an addiction in itself, mm-hmm. can it not? The properties of food, you are looking at perhaps even at such things as the sustainable quality of carbohydrates and how that has an effect upon the physical body, the highs and lows of sugar intake, whether those sugars are natural sugars present in naturally in foods like apples and oranges and all of the other things that you eat in commonplace practice, or whether they are additives brought about to enhance the quality and flavor of that particular food in the short term, but in the long term helps to contribute toward an overload of those additives within the physical body system, which of course is why human beings have such an overload of certain facets of their physical life, and that's why they expand physically.
Well, and also it's not just children that it affects.
Oh, no, of course not.
Stimulus.
Oh, yes, absolutely so, my friend. It affects every single physical human being. No matter what it is that they do for a living, perhaps they are very physically active. If they are on a diet of potatoes or white bread or something like that, what they're doing is feeding rubbish to themselves.
And all of the swings and the highs and lows of the physical elements that produces.
Yes.
So you could be on antidepressants and doing all these other things and having counselling and eating all this rubbish and making life difficult for yourself.
Making life extremely difficult for yourself, my friend, because if you are eating such things as starch-laden or carbohydrate-based foods, you are actually slowing down your rate of vibration. You are not ascending in your vibration to the possible state of life you may be in. You are not looking at your optimum level of vibration. You are creating lethargy, yes.
Yeah, it's not, in other words, we're not looking at it holistically then, are we?
No, quite so. You are actually looking at a way perhaps to fill this hole in your stomach, this void, with bulky foods which actually don't give you much. Exactly the same, my friend, as giving a horse, for example, a low-quality hay. Why would you want to do that? And then give it something that's like sweets in alfalfa, perhaps, to jolly it along, to make it feel as though it's eaten something good. Why not just dispense with the rubbish hay and actually give it something worth eating, something which is going to give it a good holistic base for its life?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't think people connect the whole... all of these different things to making up the well-being of a person.
Yes, or any other being. You have to look at the basic diet of what is that being. So if you have a squirrel that eats nuts and eats this and that in its normal varied diet, you would not, if you were keeping the same animal in a zoo in captivity, then try to give it sugar cubes or lumps of bread or something like that. It wouldn't do it any good. Similar to a snake, or perhaps a lizard that eats grapes. You see?
Yes.
You
are
having to give it sustenance foods, which it is normally having in its wild state. If you don't do that, then what you are doing is creating something of not a holistic nature, but something which will upset its system and create havoc within its life. Exactly the same, my friend, as many North American Indians and other indigenous peoples who no longer eat the ordinary forms of sustenance that their inherent ancestry, their ancestral makeup genetically, was able to create for itself. Through that ancestral mutation, they've gradually come to understand that perhaps certain foods, berries, nuts, perhaps meat, yes, if that is what that tribe was eating at that time and something which was indigenous to their life, then that is something which had continually enabled that being ancestrally to keep that state of makeup and therefore be quite at home with it. if you then suddenly change that diet, take away large swathes of their dietary needs, you are altering the, or attempting to alter in one or two or three generations their whole ancestral genetic system, leading, of course, to obesity, diabetes, and that kind of thing. All situations which are based around high sugars, carbon foods of organic starches and carbohydrates, which actually do no good to that individual body system because genetically they are designed for something else. You would have to wait generations in order for them to mutate their genetics into a body system which will then be able to cope with it, perhaps. I see, though, from the observance of many human beings throughout human life eternity upon the planetary system of Earth, that many beings are unable to cope with this sudden influx and mutation away from the normal foods that they had genetically understood. Mm-hmm. So you would have to wait many generations for their mutation to catch up genetically with the forms of food you have available.
Mm. What about how the now gateway, how well does this work, being in the now gateway, as far as suffering illness goes?
Well, yes, this, of course, is a different presence of mind. Mm-hmm. People who suffer from, shall we say, chronic illnesses, illnesses of long standing, that is a different connection that you have to make. And perhaps for some people, the first thing that they need to contact and make deals with in their physical body system state is actually to identify exactly the right foods that they have to have. Perhaps it may be that they do not have the bulky foods that many poorer people actually exist upon. This is a problem, of course, mm-hmm. with the situation of systems of class that you have within your society, whatever society that is, that will be based upon financial access and support and the material needs, meeting the material needs and wants, and understanding with these discussions that perhaps a large heap of potatoes upon the plate is not a good thing to do. It may fill you up, but it won't last.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do is to try to educate people and steer them away from those situations they create, preventing them to reach the now gateway, because what they're doing is, in eating a large lump of potatoes or whatever, is they're filling this up, but it's not actually filling them. It's not fulfilling the need. It is something which then burns off and leaves you with a large hole, yet again, in an even larger hole, because the more potato, the more white bread, white starch foods that you eat, the larger your stomach will expand, and therefore you want to accept more and more food, because it is never, it is this never decreasing situation.
Okay.
So this is not a situation which purely hinges upon food. So what I'm saying then is that that is the first point about someone in a chronic disease situation. The second point to make about accessing the now gateway is really to do with mental attributes. That is, then, the way in which you as a human being may relate to situations and subjects of your past, and how you can then overcome those subjects to perhaps relinquish them and leave them into the past and step beyond that to enable you to actually focus on, well, okay, this is me now. This is how I am. I have this pain here. How am I going to deal with it? How am I going to treat with it? You are going to perhaps use drugs, medication of some form to actually take away the pain or to relieve the symptoms of the situation, but are you actually changing or altering the situation? Is it just a patch, a plaster that you're putting on it, that you're not actually changing the organism, you're not actually overcoming the disease, but you're just keeping it away from your mind? This is how you need to approach your life in moving forward from that situation, from that mechanism. So you have to be given, perhaps, a process, a way of observation of your own inner life story, your own inner life picture, to then be able to take up new paint, new palette of colors, to actually be able to explore different ways through this now gateway
into understanding and accessing the life before you, not dreaming of it of the past, not being held back by the energy of past excesses that you created, but looking as a positive, forward-focusing energy, vibrance.
How can you actually combat disease in your body by your mind?
You can do this in simple ways of processes which enable you to focus upon a certain thing, a facet of your physical body, shall we say, because this is what you're dealing with, and which enables you to actually control pain through it. And this is actually a process of meditation that you can use for this one little piece of your physical body. So, shall we say then that if perhaps you have, shall we say, damaged your thumb or something like that, perhaps you broke it,
mm-hmm.
or your finger, and so you are on painkillers, having pain medication to relieve you of the symptoms of the situation. Of course, it is only temporary, and you know that. So perhaps that may also be in the presence of mind of your now understanding, oh, this is only temporary, I'm going to overcome this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good start. So what you need to do is understand, even when you are in a chronic situation, as I say, of a long-lived pain, then you are looking at pain management in a different way, because you may actually be responding physically to gateways that are still open within your physical body system. Yes, real gateways. So I'm talking of, my friends, that if perhaps you are a being who is suffering from a chronic back complaint, what you are, to a large extent, responding from is not necessarily situations that are continuing, but situations of past which continue to reflect a still open gateway within your physical body system that allows your memory and nervous sensation to continually trigger that response of pain, even though it may be non-existent physically.
You mean you can see this gateway that's open, and but we couldn't see it or feel it in the physical?
Yes, my friend, but also that there are ways in which you can bring about the possibility of focusing upon these gateways, and there are certain numbers of gateways in your spinal column and that kind of thing, which actually interact upon certain limbs of your physical body system. Remembering, of course, that your nervous system is split into, shall we say, six major parts. That is, you have a nervous system which comes from your brain, from your mind, into your physical body. And that this nervous system takes care of all of the extended parts of you. So it's to do with your facial skin, your hair, the way that your nervous senses pick up certain things around you. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
You then have one for each of your arms, one for each of your legs, and a separate one from your physical body. Yes?
Okay.
So this gives you, represents the six different essences, stations, if you like, of your physical body nervous system. So what you have to do is to actually, as a human physical being, will be to actually draw your attention upon one single aspect, perhaps in relation to the subject in question. So you have perhaps broken your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
We'll use this as an example. And what you would do in order to escape the pain of the thumb that is creating within you is to, in the first part, understand the link between, physically, between what you are on the outside and inside and how you can actually relate to that mentally as well as physically. So, as a physical being, you will need to make connection on the upper house level to that appendage of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you are doing is that perhaps you would take a seat upon a straight back chair or something like that with a glass of water, of course, say an invocation prayer,
and actually begin the process exactly as you would in a normal meditation. You would then actually focus your needs upon the skin surrounding your thumb and the sensations that are reaching you, that are being recorded by your mind from that appendage. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And then what you would do is you would actually mentally follow the pulse of pain as it moves from your thumb up your arm and into the physical brain and the etheric energy of your central system.
Mm-hmm.
So you are following the course of how it actually enters into your recording of the sensations you are picking up from the physical state of what you are in at this moment in time. So perhaps you are picking up pain from certain joints, if it's a broken joint or something like that, or if it's an actual break.
Yes.
And so you are picking up the pain from the joint itself and also from the skin around it, particularly if the skin was broken during the accident or whatever other repair that was taken place. It may be that you are actually dealing with a situation of arthritis or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the pain is intramuscular as well as something which is of calcification problems with the knuckle joint itself or something.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you are relating to those pain sensations, traveling along through and reaching your mental ability. Now what you are going to do is change the process of your mental ability, because there is a gateway which is at the base of your neck in relation to your thumb or finger or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And so what you are then doing is you are visiting those sensations.
Mm-hmm.
You are forming an attachment upon them, and then what we need you to do is to allow, once you have captured that moment and that sensation, we are now going to ask you to allow that sensation, that captured moment, to merely leave your mind. So as you pay less and less attention to it, do not try to keep thinking of it. Don't try to keep focusing upon the pain now. Allow the pain and allow the memory of it to dissipate from your mind. You may feel your thumb beginning to become cold. You may feel the energy as it moves around the appendage, the thumb, and the break and the pain that you may feel now as sharp signals. And pay those signals less attraction, less and less attraction. The more that you are able to allow these signals to dissipate from your mind, the better you are able to overcome the sensation and just be in the tranquil state of peace, the tranquil state of peace that allows you to be still and without that memory.
And we've only got a minute left, but...
I understand.
Could you do that with something like if you had cancer, a growth? I mean, would that
stop
the pain, or could it help you to actually get rid of it?
It could do both. I am suggesting this as a process way of actually using your mental ability, your contact with your spirit, and your ability perhaps to be able to focus energy, showing you a different way of focusing your energy into dissipating that aspect, that physical state you are in.
And of course, when you are doing that in those moments, you will be in the right frame of mind and disposition to have healing from spirit.
Of course, yes.
From unseen hands.
And as I say, this is something open to everyone, not that it is only for those who are spiritual adapted in their life. It is for people who are inept, people who have never been able to make any contact with a gift of spirit or anything that they have. This is something for everyone.
Splendid. Thank you very much.
With love and light, God bless for all of you in each of your lives.
Thank you, Gregory. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. It's www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more information about us, our books, our CDs, our Akashic readings, and our other diagnostic services, and as well as the wonderful bbsradio.com on Mondays and Thursdays with Spirit Work. We also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com on Tuesdays. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.